Medical Matters.
And Dr. Mary Dorji is my guest dentist at the Think Clinic. Dr. Dorji, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate your time for coming to talk
Aubrey.
To us. Are you well?
Thank you so much for having me tonight. Yes, I'm very good, thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful. Absolutely very, very well. I wish that our weekends could last a little longer.
Oh, don't we all?
Alas, they don't. Dr. Dorji, I've heard this from people in the... now I've lost the word. But, you know, the people that are into alternative medicine, that look at the foot, and they will say that the foot has got all of the... Sort of to say that the foot is a microcosm of the whole body. I think they are called... I forget the
reflexologist.
Name. Reflexologist is the other name, but I was looking for another one. But... I'm hearing that the mouth is also that way inclined, that it too is an indicator, a micro indicator of what may be happening in the rest of the body. Tell me more about this.
So I think the place to start would be to say that, yes, all right, everything we eat goes through our mouth. It's the window to our bodies in a way, right? But I think that it's often overlooked. And if you consider, can I ask when last you've been to the dentist?
When last I saw a dentist. You got me there. I think about 2 years ago. Yeah.
So what we tend to do as humans, and this is not just you, it's quite general, is that we only go to the dentist when there's pain. And what you don't realize is that there is this whole world of bacteria and possibly inflammation going on in your mouth that you aren't aware of because it's asymptomatic. So you don't go to the dentist until you present with a symptom, which is when it's maybe too late or it's your body's been in distress for a very, very long time. So what we're looking at now in 2021 in terms of oral health and furthermore systemic health is that our bodies are in fact systems. And if you suffer from conditions, chronic conditions, such as diabetes, hypertension, cardiovascular issues, as well as you try and control those and manage the diet and do everything that your doctor is telling you to do, the presence of inflammation and certain bacteria in your mouth is going to prevent your ability to control those conditions.
Right.
Furthermore, you might not have those conditions, but you might have a higher bacterial load in your oral cavity, which will then make you susceptible to such diseases. So before, I mean, there was a lot of studies on the interlink between periodontal disease, which is the disease of the gums and the bone, and systemic health. But now we start to look at our health in a very granular kind of way through DNA analysis and different genetic testing that you can do to actually see what's going on.
Yeah. And do different, I suppose, symptoms mean different things that are happening in the system you talk about?
Yes. So I guess a common one, if you look at oral symptoms or dental symptoms, would be if you had pain, right? So pain is obviously linked to possibly dental decay. Decay we link to our diets, our oral hygiene habits. And then you say, okay, here's someone who, this is very basic. This is as simple as it gets, right? This is someone who has a sweet tooth, for example, right? Combined with poor hygiene.
Yeah.
You can actually do a genetic test to see if your body has an affinity for sugar, which is going to tell you why, like me, I can't eat one cupcake, I must eat three. because as soon as you have some sugar, there is...
Do you, Doc? Do you, man?
There's literally a switch in your body that goes off and says, give me more. It's like a little demon. Give me more sugar.
Yeah.
So I'd rather not have one cupcake because I know how this is going to go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Except on Fridays. Anyway. So it's about saying, what is actually going on? So if you think of pain, you think of bleeding, you think of loose teeth, those are now more serious conditions because now it's an infection of the bone where you will lose your teeth. And it's sort of a chicken and egg situation. Like, do you maybe have uncontrolled diabetes that has led to this happening in your mouth? Or do you have this condition coupled with a bad diet, coupled with maybe obesity? Now you've got type 2 diabetes. And you're trying your level best to control it, but the one is feeding the other. And we need to move away from seeing, we have to see, obviously, different doctors for different things.
Yes.
But as in my personal experience, and I have like a plethora of conditions, I got quite tired of no one actually talking to each other and not realizing that my body is a system made up of all these cogs and wheels that are constantly in motion and constantly talking to each other. And if you change one thing, it's going to have a knock-on effect. So what's the recipe? What is the best way to almost curate your medical treatment? And not just treatment, because treatment talks about when we already have a disease.
Yeah.
We're talking about prevention.
Yeah.
We're talking about visiting the dentist and the hygienist every 3 or 6 months and doing a genetic test to say, okay, you have a predisposition for A, B, C, and D. There is a predisposition for periodontal disease in your family, right? I can ask people that and they can say, yeah, you know, my granny lost the teeth. I remember her wearing dentures fine. But this is on paper going to tell you that you have a high inflammation rate in your body or risk for inflammation, and you have a genetic predisposition for periodontal disease. Now, as a 32-year-old, we know this about you.
Yeah.
So we're going to say, listen, let's see you every 4 months. Let's see what your diet looks like. You're going to see a dietitian. Dietitian is going to put together something for you. And at the same time, you are doing DNA health tests to see what susceptibilities you have for cardiovascular disease, for diabetes, for some cancers, to see what is your roadmap. So after doing all these tests, and you only have to do them once because your genes don't change. Your genes are your genes.
Yeah.
Now it's about upregulating and downregulating to actually live a holistically healthy lifestyle.
You
walk out of there with a manual for your body. To know that you are on a specific diet. Why? Not because everyone's keto or we must all be vegans. No, because your body is saying that you need low fat, high carb, or you need high carb, low fat, and you need to exercise 30 minutes 3 times a week, and you need to see the dentist every 4 months because actually there is a risk you might lose your teeth.
Give us a call on 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567 as I speak to dentist at the Think Clinic, Dr. Mary Dorji, about oral hygiene. Not only oral hygiene, but oral health. Not only oral health, but overall systematic bodily health that you can detect through, I suppose, a trained eye that looks at what's going on in your mouth. You may be going through, I don't know, gum disease of sorts. You may be going through the loss of teeth. Doc, what did you call it, this loss of teeth where you need...
Periodontal disease.
There you go. You may have periodontal disease. You may have all sorts of issues in your mouth. They may be an indicator of something else going on in the rest of your body. Doc, I mean, as I speak to more health practitioners of all disciplines, I'm beginning to sense that all of you are of the idea that that the body is a system, and that whatever area of the body you focus on, you can get the clues about the rest of the body, as you are saying now about the mouth. And I digress a little bit, but is this a new discovery? Ought this not have been the logical way of thinking to begin with?
You would think. You would think. But I think that, you know, as medical specialists, as doctors, what tends to happen is that you get very consumed in your area specialty, you know. And I think that applies to not just medical people. Yeah. I mean, it applies to everyone across the board.
Yeah.
So now I think that there is this, and I'm very grateful for it, you know, that there is this movement towards even communicating between specialists, because you could have all these tests done, which are not done necessarily with the doctor. They're done with the company, and then you see a doctor who's able to work with them.
Yes.
Or you visit the same clinic, and we do a general consultation, and I pick up a bunch of lifestyle things that are of concern to me, and I'm like, okay, go do all these tests and see this dietitian, and we're going to take it from there. And I think the movement now, I mean, everyone is on the health train, right? We're all exercising, we're all trying to eat properly, we're all just focused on what the latest trend is, and everything for me needs to be based on a little bit of fact, you know, a little bit of, and this is what something like a DNA test does. It starts to make your body less guess, it starts to make your treatments less guesswork, and suddenly you can work with like a nice factual basis, which gives me a huge sense of comfort. It's a new development in science, so this I think is the addition to it. And as we progress, I mean, medicine is going to evolve, our understanding of medicine is going to evolve, and that can only be a good thing as technology evolves.
The word I was looking for earlier on was homeopath. That's the word I was looking for. It just came, just, you know, as you were talking, just
and there would be links with a homeopath as well, you know, to say, okay, these are, I just don't think there's ever one way to do things.
There has to be. I'm encouraged by that, that open-mindedness that seems to be part of the way that modern medicine is going. I mean, I'm speaking to people these days in the field of psychology that are saying, listen, we need to start speaking and having a closer relationship with traditional healers. Because you've got up to 80% of South Africans who still consult with traditional healers. And I'm liking that cross-pollination of ideas between people that are trying to help people. Doc, I'm gonna sort of list a number of symptoms, and you let me know what that would mean, not only for the mouth, but for the rest of the body, right? And as I invite our listeners to join us in this conversation on 011-883-0702, the 021-446-0567, and of course already some questions coming through. This person's Piwa says, how effective is washing your mouth with salty water? I'm 43 years old, have 28 teeth. Should I be worried for not having 32? Says Spiwe. And then another one asks this question. Good evening, Orbs, and your guest. My question, I have two missing front teeth. I'm considering implants. Would she recommend this route? How much would I need to budget for this in South Africa? Says this person who's not in South Africa at the moment. Perhaps you might want to start with those, Doc. But I want to ask around issues of bleeding gum disease, for example. What is that? Okay. Why does that happen? Halitosis. Hey, man. Hey, man.
Okay.
All right, let's start with the listeners' questions, and then you can go into some of the things that I'm thinking about. One, what do we do about that specific symptom? But what does it signal for the rest of the system, which is the body?
Okay. So shall I start with the listener's question?
Yeah, let's start with the listener's question.
Okay, perfect. So for the gentleman with 28 teeth, that is not an unusual amount of teeth to have at your age. 32 would take you to your wisdom teeth, and as man has evolved, we find that there is less and less space in your mouth for wisdom teeth. So often, more often than not, those are extracted. Salt water is, I usually recommend a warm salt water rinse. It just act as a little bit of an antibacterial. It's a good home remedy. It's mild. I'm not sure if you're using it for a specific reason or if you're just using it every day. So I can't really speak to that. But I mean, it's not a terrible thing to be doing.
Okay, the caller has two missing front teeth.
Implants,
yeah.
Implants are probably the best way to go about to replace these teeth. So when we lose teeth, what tends to happen, and I'm going to explain this as simple as possible, your bone relies on your teeth to stay at a certain level. As soon as you lose the teeth or you have the teeth pulled out, the bone almost starts to shrink and you lose bone. So we want to get implants in there as soon as possible, if not at the same time that those teeth are being pulled out. It obviously depends on every situation because it's different. But you would want to put an implant in there because then you trick your body into believing that there is a tooth there and you sustain those bone levels, which are the support structures of your mouth. And if it's in the front of your face, you're looking at supporting the soft tissue, supporting your lips, it's going to affect your speech, all sorts of things. So it is important to get implants. Prices vary from some surgeons who do it for 7,000 and it can go up to 18,000 Rand. It depends on the situation because not all situations are the same. If you've lost bone in the area, it means that that bone will have to be modified and worked on to get you into an optimum situation.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's talk a little bit about some of these symptoms. Bleeding gum disease, what does that signify for the mouth, but then for the rest of the body? And I had a special question around the issue of halitosis.
Okay. So bleeding gum disease, also known as gingivitis, inflammation and infection in the gums around your teeth. That's as simple as it gets, right? It can come from a number of things. In your oral cavity, we look at hygiene. Is it good? Is it bad? We look at plaque, tartar buildup, calculus, so calcification of the plaque, which could lie underneath your gum, and that it basically irritates the gum. Mm. So that would lead to bleeding gums. In a systemic sense, you are looking at inflammation in your body, right? So if you think of your body as this little system, I like the word system.
Yeah.
And you've got an army. You've got a great army. Okay, fighting off all things. Your army's been fighting for a year and a half now because it's COVID. Well-trained. And now you've got inflammation in your guts. It's just a bit of bleeding damage. You're not too stressed about it. Fine.
Yeah.
But this is going on for like 6 months now. That means for 6 months, your little army is so preoccupied with fighting the inflammation in your oral cavity that it leaves you susceptible to other conditions, right? Whether it be viruses, whether it be cardiovascular diseases, whether it be hypertension, whether it be diabetes. So if you just think of a mouth, you're like, oh, bleeding gums, fine. But once you start to look at your whole body, maybe it's not indicative that there is something going on, but it is leaving you susceptible to other things going on. The only way you would know if you are at risk is to do some tests.
Talk to me about halitosis. Just tell me what halitosis is about, because, man, halitosis is a problem.
Is it a common problem?
Yeah.
Is it a common problem?
Yeah.
Okay, so from simple halitosis, we have that foul breath, right? So we look at a lot of things. We look at what is your hygiene like? What are your brushing techniques? A lot of people, I realized, don't often realize that they need to brush their tongues and they need to brush their palate. It can also come from dehydration. So are you drinking enough water? Are you hydrated? Do you have an ENT, an ear, nose, and throat issue, a post-nasal drip? See, so now it's not just an oral cavity situation. We're actually looking at your sinuses. We're looking at your breathing. Are you a mouth breather? Because if you're sleeping with your mouth open the whole night, and then, you're causing dehydration. And sometimes mints and mouthwash and good brushing is not going to solve that, because how do we solve problems?
Yeah.
We need to find out what the cause of them are.
Yeah.
So if the cause of your halitosis is that you haven't been to a hygienist and you haven't had your teeth cleaned, fine, let's clean your teeth. If the cause of your halitosis is cavities, holes in your teeth that haven't been filled, they act as tiny little food traps. Food sits in there. You maybe brush your teeth twice a day. Walking around with, like, I think is it a cow or is it a horse that eats and then they store some of it in the back of their mouth?
I think it's a cow.
So, yeah. Like, you're walking around like a cow the whole day, right? I imagine if you smelled a cow's mouth, you would not be impressed.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then we have your ear, nose, and throat infections, your dry mouth. With your dry mouth, it can be from certain diets, actually. So I recently read an article about veganism and how veganism leads to dry mouth for some reason. I don't want to misquote and say why, but that is something I read. And then you also could have almost like a metal smell. And that comes from a diet a lot of people are doing now, keto. So when your body goes into ketosis and it starts to basically break down fat for energy because you don't have any carbohydrate sources for the energy. And then a byproduct of that is this metal or sometimes fruity, not so fruity, breath. Other issues can be, just stop me from going too fast or too much.
No. I was going to ask, again, as far as halitosis is concerned, could it be indicative of some gut issues?
Of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Tell me more about that.
So, acid reflux, anything like that, it can be indication that something else is going. I mean, that won't just be the halitosis. So if we're looking at some acid reflux, GERD, we are looking at the wear on your enamel. I've had patients who come to me who think they are perfectly healthy, and I look at their enamel, and I have to break some bad news, and I'm like, I think there's something seriously going on here.
Yeah.
So we look at, we do find the link there. Liver and kidney disease as well can lead to halitosis.
I find, Dr. Dorji, that the teeth are such a confidence booster. I think there's a program somewhere about Get My Smile Back. And I've seen how when, people who've had maybe fractured teeth or whatever the case may be, and then they get them filled up and, wow, they look beautiful. But it just psychologically, I mean, we're talking about the various levels at which your mouth can affect other parts of your health. But your mental health can be that much more enhanced and strengthened by simply doing something to your teeth, just making that part of your body, the mouth, the smile. I've seen how it does amazing things for people's self-confidence, self-esteem.
Yeah, so unfortunately, there are many, many psychological studies around beauty and around there was one study, if you were considered prettier than the other kids, you are immediately treated differently, and as a result, you view the world differently, and that plays such a huge role in the way you go through the world and in the way, you experience things, which goes back to like the old adage, don't judge a book by its cover, whatever. Mm. But this is what human beings do. This is what we do. And I have seen it firsthand. So at the Think Clinic, we do a lot of digital smile design. We do a lot of treatments that are fundamentally based on restoring function and biology. And as a consequence of the digital plan and our systemic approach to things, we see that we often, more often than not, have this massive restorative aesthetic outcome that comes along with it. And I have seen, it's honestly the most, it's the most incredible thing I've ever experienced, because I've had a large number of patients who are successful people of color now in 2021, let's call it that, right? But if you look at our history, unfortunately, maybe going to the dentist wasn't a priority. You know, our parents needed to put food on the table. They needed to get us to school. They needed to give you the education you needed to become, say, an orthopedic surgeon, a lawyer, whatever. Now you're successful and you are at the top of your game professionally. But because of the neglect or the, I don't know, the not having access to it previously, you don't look the part. And I have seen a complete change in my patients once they have that rehabilitation. And I call it a rehabilitation because how we face the world impacts not just us in what we do, but it impacts the person that you're interacting with, because I can guarantee you they will find a way to pass whatever you've given them on to the next person. And I know I sound idealistic, but I just think that it is such an important thing to feel
your best self, to feel
comfortable, to feel like a lawyer, like a surgeon, you know, because you worked so hard for it and you got there. And when you start coming to the dentist and when you start making your, I'm not even talking aesthetics, I'm talking your health a priority. You basically level up in your life, you know? And the nice thing about our treatments is that there is the aesthetic outcome that actually changes the way you feel about yourself and therefore the way you treat yourself and hopefully the way you treat others.
Listen, I've got a number of questions that have come through. I want to group them. But there's questions around mouth ulcers or blisters in the mouth. So, for example, on Twitter, Spongi Linjinga says, "Hi, Aubrey, can the doctor please advise what could be the cause of blisters on kids' tongues and how to prevent them?" And I think a related question is a question from Anita, who wants to know about a sore tongue. And then somebody else, Tom, he says, "I have been having a metallic taste in my mouth since Saturday. At the same time when I was suffering from hemorrhoids, could this be related? I have brushed, gargled and flossed." And then there was a question also, I need to find it, about Mudisa says, "Good evening, Bra Obs and your guest. Is there a way to eliminate a white coating on our tongue? Does the color of our tongue mean something about the quality of our health?" And then finally, this person says, "Good evening. If a veneer falls out, can it be used again or must a new one be made?" Perhaps you want to start with that one, Doc?
Yeah, because I'm going to have you repeat all those questions again.
Sure.
It's a lot. Okay, so if a veneer falls off, can it be, must it be remade? If it is a clean break or it just came off and the tooth structure is still in place and the margins are still good, then it just needs to be treated and it can be re-cemented or rebonded back into your mouth.
Okay. And then let's talk about the tongue. Right, the tongue, if it's
white
sore,
coating on the
white
tongue.
Coating on the tongue, yeah.
Okay, so a white coating on the tongue can either be a buildup of plaque and bacteria, which maybe just needs to be brushed off, although it can also be a fungal infection. So if the white coating has been there for an extended period of time, if you have other immune conditions that are present, HIV, diabetes, any one of those, then you do have a predisposition to develop a fungal infection like that, and you will need to seek treatment from a doctor.
Yeah, yeah. All right, a sore tongue?
A sore tongue, it's important to look out if you have any ulcers, particularly ulcers that have been there for a long time. Sometimes mouth ulcers can be viral. Sometimes they can be reactive to maybe something you've eaten. They can be traumatic. We tend to get worried about long-standing ulcers, so it's something that has not healed in a couple of days to maybe a week or two. Then we would like to investigate further. Often oral cancers go undiagnosed, which is quite sad, and you need to make sure that you have those checks done. Sore tongues, also most common culprit would be spicy foods, and if you have what they call a fissured tongue, a geographic tongue, so it's almost like there is little grooves. It can be exacerbated when you eat spicy foods, when you eat acidic foods. Pineapples, kiwi fruits, bananas tend to be common culprits. Cinnamon. And then it will flare up a little bit more. So you want to just watch your diet, see when it gets worse or when it gets better.
Yeah.
And just make sure your general health is intact. If you're feeling lethargic, if you have body aches, if you have anything like that going on, then I do recommend seeing a medical doctor as well as a dentist to see what's going on.
Ulcers, sores on the tongues of children specifically, what can be done to deal with that? I remember when I was a kid, there was a thing called Alvane. I don't know if it was a thing like a sour little crystal that we used to be made to suck. And that thing was amazing. We just dissolved the ulcers. But what causes those ulcers, Doc?
I've never heard of this crystal, but I'm keen to know more about that.
It's one of those grandma's.
I see.
But yeah, maybe somebody remembers this. Give me a call. If you remember a crystal, a white crystal that kids used to be given when we had ulcers in our mouths. I just remember that my grandmother used to call it Alvane. I don't know what Alvane is, but I just remember that. And, they'd give it to us and or ask us to put it under our tongue so that we don't swallow it or chew on it, right? And then the juice, of course, the mixture with the saliva. And then it would be like really, really bitter and sour. It's like a bitter, soury sort of taste. And then a couple of hours, man, the blister would be gone. Gone, man, you know?
That's incredible.
I don't know. I don't know if it still exists. But if anybody remembers that or knows about that, please give us a call. Let's educate the doctor here.
Please. You know, I love a home remedy, right?
Absolutely. So talk to us about children's ulcers specifically.
Children ulcers or actus ulcers, they can be viral. So a lot of things when it is a virus is self-limiting, which means it needs to wear its way out, you know. So you can get some topical herbs that you can put on it, warm salt water rinses if it's not too painful. But they aren't contagious. They usually stick around for about 14 days. And you want to look out for, once again, immune disorders.
Yeah.
Stress, is your child sleeping properly? Vitamin deficiency. So iron deficiency often can lead to a variety of mouth ulcers. And then a common one, which you should check with all your kids, food allergies. You know, is there something that they're eating that's clearing this up? And just monitor them when they are brushing their teeth to make sure that they are not causing damage or hurting themselves. Like it's not a traumatic thing. Hand, foot, and mouth disease. So that can also present as blisters inside the mouth, but then you would also have other symptoms.
Doc, did you say foot and mouth disease?
Hand, foot, and mouth disease, yes.
Oh, human beings get that?
Human beings get that.
Wow.
And it's a virus. And we know a lot about viruses now.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to educate people about viruses.
Yeah.
So you want to cull the foods that's just going to soothe your kid's mouth, hydration, rest, and you sort of just let it run its course. You know, you can
listen. Lots of calls have come through on my. Apparently, it was called alum or aloni. Somebody apparently called in to say aloni, but somebody also calls it Alvane. I don't know what the real name for this thing is, but it was a crystal. I remember this very, very clearly. It looked like a big chunk of chrovasot, you know? And we'd put it under the tongue, and there it is. All right, but lots
maybe
of...
it was rough salt. My grandmother used to give me rough salt when I had a throat ache.
No, this was definitely not rough salt. It was something else. But yeah, a lot of people remember it. Okay, there you go. Somebody's just sent me a... Tebogo Randau has just sent me a thing. It's a PacMed, I think is the brand, but it's called Alleinstein. Alleinstein. A-L-U-I-N. Stien, as in... brick in Afrikaans, right? Alleinstein, I think it's called. A lot of people recognizing this. I'm not alone, man. I'm not alone as far as that is concerned. Listen, Doc, this question came in a little earlier when you were explaining something as from L. I just saw it now. It says, "Hi, Orbs. Is the good doctor suggesting that if you visit the dentist every 4 months, they will reverse and rid you of your periodical diseases forever? Or is it not a reversible condition?" says L.
Okay. So periodontal disease is an irreversible condition.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
So while the damage and the destruction is done to a certain point before you seek treatment, fine. But there are treatment modalities to stop it in its tracks,
yes,
to prevent it from getting worse. And it doesn't just depend on you going to the dentist or getting your cleanings done. Like any condition, I'm a type 1 diabetic and I can see my doctor every 3 months and she can give me insulin.
Yes.
But if I'm eating 3 cupcakes every night, then I have a problem.
Even if you're trying to do you, man.
I have a problem. It's not her fault.
Yeah.
It's not her fault, you know? So we give you the prescriptive treatment, your home remedies. It's about managing your diet. It's about managing your lifestyle. And the best way to do that now would be to do DNA testing, to get your body's manual to see what the best way forward is for you, to stop playing guessing games with your health. And prevention is much better than any cure after it.
Doc, final question. Listerine and those kinds of products, are they good for us?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. They are good for you. Not to drink. They are good for the purpose they are meant for. They do not replace brushing your teeth. They're not replacement aids. They are adjunctive aids.
Yeah.
If you brush your teeth, if you floss your teeth, you maybe don't need it, but it's a nice to have.
Yeah.
They have a variety of them out there. So if you do have gingivitis, bleeding gums, or anything like that, there are some antibacterial ones.
Yeah.
If you don't want any alcohol in it, there are some non-alcoholic ones. We have actually started using Listerine Zero from the start of the pandemic as a pre-rinse from our patients just to reduce any viral load that might not be in their mouths before we see them.
All right. Doc, how do people get in touch with you? How do people follow you? If there's a Facebook page that they can get in touch with you on, please let us know what that is.
Okay. So you can find us at the Think Clinic. We are... I'm going to get you the right handles. Let me not mess this up. On Instagram, Think Clinic. On our website, www.thinkclinic.co.za. You can get in touch with me, Dr. Mary _Dowjee, Dawjee, on Instagram. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have. And... yeah.
Thank you so much, Dr. Mary Dawjee, dentist at the Think Clinic. Much appreciated.